Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Firstly, it is a good idea to get a siddur if you don't have one. I mean, you can just listen, but it's nice to follow inside the siddur. We are doing the Shemayna Esrei. Today, our learning is in the schus that there should be a refuah shalema for Chayesara Bas Meisha. We should all have in mind the refuah shalema for Chayesara Bas Meisha now while we are learning. Okay, so last week, We didn't get very far, but it was our second part of the series. Today is the third part in the series, and I know we've only designated four. We will definitely have to have a to be continued for sure, but because there's so much, it's like, I don't know, we're just even scratching the surface, but we'll do whatever we can and no rushing. We just want to get through and see. And the only challenge that I feel is that because there is such a wealth on every single word in the Shemayna Esrei, sometimes we can get a bit lost and lose the bigger picture, which is also a bit of being able to keep focus on both is a little bit hard. And it is true, and I know I said this last week, that when we are davening, we don't have that much time, and most of us have many things to do. And there is so many beautiful things to think about and to work on during Shemayna Esrei. Nevertheless, I think the idea of learning it is not to get discouraged, but rather to feel encouraged and to think to ourselves that if we can just pick one thing that speaks to us and that we can focus on and that we can concentrate and that we can work on, even that's enough. And perhaps really the idea is that we should choose different times, different things. So that's really the idea of learning and understanding, because as we said, davening is not really an exercise of the mind. Davening is an emotional exercise. It's coming close to Hashem. So all of that we learn is meant to be applied in an emotional and a spiritual way, where we reflect, we think about, we internalize the deeper meaning of everything that we are saying. Okay, but inside, because we have a lot to do. So let's see. So last time we did the words of the first introductory words that Hashem should open up our mouths, and we read Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov, how God is the God of our forefathers. We went into that in depth. And then we mentioned the special formula which Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoira, right? That God is, as we said, he's a big God, he's a strong God, he's an awesome God, and Kel Elyon, he's above all, he is a God above everything. I just want to go into, last time we mentioned that this was a special formula and we went through it and how it was forgotten and how it was returned by the Anshei Knesset Agdola. But today I'd like to start just simply with the words Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoira in a very individual way on each of these words. When we use the word Hakel, we know Hakel means God. But what does the word Hakel mean? When we learned the 13 attributes of mercy, I don't know if you remember, we had that the first of the, according to many opinions, the first one is Kael. So Kael is a name of God which refers to God in a compassionate way. Although this bracha is called the bracha of chesed, kindness, it is the bracha which corresponds to Avraham. Nevertheless, all of God's attributes are interrelated. Not only are they interrelated, they're interchangeable by God, so to speak. And the truth is that God is not bound by anyone at any time, that we know. The source of everything that God does for us, or the source, if you want to say, of the way Hashem relates to us, is with his incredible compassion, his rachamim. And that's why that name of God is used here as almost an introduction to all the different attributes which we will mention of Hashem. One thing it does remind us, though, when you say Hakel, it can remind us of a beautiful incident in our history of a woman, which is interesting. Shemayna Esrei, we didn't go into it at length, actually is extremely connected to women, because many of the halachas we learn from Chana, remember we see Chana, the mother of Shmuel, but also here the word Hakel can remind us of a different woman in Jewish history, Esther Hamalka. Queen Esther, when she was standing just before she was about to enter to speak to Ahasuerus, to invite him to the party and hopefully to arrange and hopefully to gain compassion and, for, you know, and that he shouldn't annihilate her nation, what are the words that Esther Hamalka said to God? Kaili, lama azaftani. Those are words from Tehillim, but we know that these are words from Esther. My God, why have you forsaken me? When we say Hakel in Shemayne Esrei, we can remember what Esther said. Hakel, Kaili, my God. And what does it mean, my God? It is a name, although of compassion, but of incredible strength. It is a God of strength. And Esther is trying to evoke that God, the God of strength, to come and stand with her in this almost lion's den, you know, where she is, going into Ahasuerus and putting her life in danger. And the same thing with us as we begin to beseech Hashem, even though at this point we are not actually specifically asking, we are praising God. But what we are doing is reminding ourselves and the angels of the greatness of Hashem. So he is Hakel, he is the strong God. And what does he do and how does he express himself and how does he relate to us? In a few ways. First of all, Hagadol. God relates to the world in a way of greatness. And as we said, Hagadol symbolizes Kabbalistically the concept of chesed, of kindness. And it says that Olam chesed yibane, the whole world stands and is based on kindness. Without kindness of Hashem, the world wouldn't be here. He doesn't owe us anything. It's a pure kindness that he constantly recreates us. Also, it is explained that it's not only Hashem's kindness that the world stands on, we have to model Hashem. So it's our kindness upon which the world depends. Hagadol, that's what we have to remember when we are praising God with the word Hagadol. And then we go on and we say, it's not enough that he's just a God of kindness. He's also Hagibor, he's a God of strength. What is strength? So strength, we know, Gevura, that's the concept of withholding. That's when somebody is so strong that they are able to hold back even if they want to do something. We'll discuss it a little bit more later in depth, but just in our paragraph, which is not so much about Gevura, but as we said, that everything comes, so to speak, originates in this kindness, but nevertheless, there is also a Gevura. So this Gevura over here is referring to Hashem withholding the punishment from us. So he is conquering, if you want to say, he's holding back from punishing us. So that's really an expression of kindness, but it takes Gevura to do that, even when we deserve to be punished. What does this mean that he holds back the punishment? On a very simple level, he is constantly creating us every moment of the day. It doesn't matter what we're thinking, what we're doing, what we are saying, even if it's an outright rebellion to God. If we say something that God doesn't want us to say, so to speak, if we act cruelly, if we go against him by doing something which is against the Torah, even at that moment, he sustains us. We say he is a God who is a Gibor. Why does he sustain us even while we are actively rebelling against him? We learned in the Ramak and Reb Moshe Kar Devero and the Tomer Devora, Hashem has patience. That also comes from Gevura. Gevura, when a person has true Gevura, true discipline, and they hold themselves back, that means they have patience. Hashem has patience. He's waiting for us to realize, to chap, you know, say, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing it this way. Maybe I can change. Therefore, Hashem holds back, gives us more time. That's Hagibar. And it's a very beautiful thing. It says in the language that the son of the Vilna Gaon uses, he says, Zeu Gvurosav. This is his greatness, shehu mashkiach al ha'olam hashafel, that he supervises this low world. Noisein mazein l'chol chai, he sustains, he gives food to all who live. The low ones, all of the things that are alive, even things that don't deserve, things that do deserve, things which are seemingly insignificant, and yet Hashem, it matters to him to pay attention. This comes from the Gibor, from the Gevura. We can't possibly grasp the kindness of Hashem, that he has to hold himself back constantly, which means he has to hide his greatness in order for us to feel as independent beings. If Hashem would reveal himself in his entirety, well, we would just become nullified. It would be the example that's always given. Imagine if the sun came out in all its strength. You can't exist. You can't look at it. So what do we have to do? We have to put a shield in front of the sun. The same way, this is the gevura of Hashem. He has to block himself a little bit. He has to withdraw, contract himself. Why? Just so that we should exist, and even more, that we feel we are independent beings. Why does he want us to feel that way? Because then we can choose to do the right thing. We're not compelled to do the right thing. We choose to do the right thing. And then it is considered something special on our part. It's something, it makes our life worthwhile. We have a purpose. So that's Hagibar. And I just want to see, and the Chassam Sofer explains also beautifully that Hashem, in the, quote unquote, punishes, he says, us for our good. He says, the way we can look at Gibor is like a parent with a young child sometimes who does something dangerous. And what does the parent do? They punish the child, not because they don't love the child. It's dafka because they love the child. So that's what the Chassam Sofer says. Hagibor is that aspect, that way that God relates to us, when it seems to us that it's something quite harsh, but it's really ultimately for our betterment. Then we come to Hanayra. What is Nayra? So we mentioned last, and Nayra is a very, it's a high word, it's a very strong word. And that actually signifies the attribute of compassion, of rachamim. Why is it rachamim, compassion, noira, awesome? What's the connection? Awesome to me sounds like something I'm petrified of. But awesome really, in this context, comes from the word that it's something that's from very, very high, from a very high space. When Hashem relates to us with compassion, it means he is relating to us with a compassion, not like when we relate to another person with compassion. Why do we relate to another person with compassion? Because when we see them in pain, we feel pain. So a lot of times, why are we helping them? To alleviate our own discomfort. It's like we say, I can't eat when somebody else is hungry. I won't enjoy my food. I have to feed him also so that I can enjoy my food. We say God's compassion is on a whole different level. It comes from on high. He's way above us. He doesn't emotionally, in that sense, feel our pain in the sense where it takes away from him. No, he has compassion because he wants to have compassion, because he feels that he wants to feel our pain. So it's a whole different space, and it's not to do with his discomfort. That's Hanayra. That's a very important thing here. So these are all the different attributes that we praise God that he contains. And this we know is compared to Yaakov, our forefather Yaakov. Yaakov served God, so to speak. He didn't serve God, but he did serve God. But his main attribute was compassion, Noira, Tiferes, known in other ways. This is a very, very high level. We'll get to that when we get to the third bracha. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, Vahanoira. Also, these are in our bracha, but they are introductory words which refer to the first three brachas. The first one is HaGadol, which is Chesed, which is our bracha that we're doing, Magen Avraham. The second bracha, which we will talk about soon, which is the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, is the bracha of Gevura, and the third, and that corresponds to Yitzchak. And the third bracha, which is Ata Kadesh, or other people say it differently, but the bracha of Kadesh, that is Yaakov, and that is Hanoira. Okay, but we'll get, as we say, when we get to those brachas, we'll concentrate more on that part. And then we continue. And we say, even though we've just described God's attributes and we've praised them and we're so thankful for them that he treats us and that he actually uses those attributes to relate to the world, nevertheless, what must we remember? Kael Elyon. God is way above our understanding, no matter what and how we're going to describe him, and however much we're going to contemplate and meditate and think and analyze, we will not scratch even the barest of surfaces. He is way beyond, Elyon, he's way above. So we do say Hakel HaGadol HaGibar, but right away we remember he is way, way, way above. He's above all. And another way also of looking at it, Kael Elyon means that he is the absolute total controller. He's the one that is totally in control. Therefore, that's part of the praise, but that leads us later on to be able to put in our requests. Because the only way a person feels secure to request something from somebody else is if they think they can deliver. Here we show if Hashem is in control, obviously he can deliver. So Kel Elyon, you are above everything. You have the capacity, the capability, obviously, of doing anything you choose to do. And then we continue and we say, Goimel Chasodim Toivim, because as we said, this bracha is really the bracha which praises God for his midah, his attribute of chesed. What is Goimel Chasodim Toivim? If you ever think about it, you know, we say it every day, and sometimes we don't think about the words, that Goimel Chasodim Toivim, who bestows beneficial kindness. Isn't kindness beneficial? What is chasodim toivim? Wouldn't it just be enough to say goimel chasodim? It's interesting how we say what type of kindness? Chasodim toivim. Why do we say it that way? Because it's a very, very powerful thing. First of all, as we know, sometimes as a human being, we think we are bestowing kindness on somebody else. We have good intentions, but our kindness, unfortunately, can lead to something negative in the other person, right? We can give them something, they can misuse it, whatever it is. It's not necessarily a real kindness. When Hashem bestows kindness, it's always beneficial. So that's something important. The reason why we have to praise God for that is to remember that when something looks like it's not a kindness, we have to realize that's also beneficial. So it's beneficial kindness, and it's beneficial when he doesn't give us the kindness, because he knows what's for our benefit. The other thing also that is a very beautiful idea is Goinel Chasadim Toivim. We're praising God for being the source of the kindness, and he gives us, obviously he treats us with kindness, but even deeper, he gives us the capacity to receive that kindness and pass it on to others. That's a magnificent, I saw that in Rabbi Schwab, beautiful, beautiful way of looking at it. This, again, that we can concentrate in the morning. I mean, we'll go into it soon when we talk about Chias HaMesim. The fact that we just woke up is a tremendous kindness. The fact that we even have a drop of energy is a tremendous kindness. All of the kindness which Hashem bestows upon us, obviously, it is not just enough for us, but he gives us the capacity to share it with others. So Goimel Chasodim Toivim. We can also do good to others. The other thing also is that Hashem gives us Toivim is also to signify the kindness that he does for us spiritually. What does that mean? It means, and we know because we have these fluctuating days. Some days we feel quite blocked. You know, we feel quite, I don't know, stuffed. I don't know what the word is, but you know, whatever. We just struggle just to get through. Some days we feel quite awake. We feel quite inspired. This is a bracha from Hashem. Goimel chasodim toivim, that he gives us kindness in a good way, which means the toivim here represents the idea of the spiritual energy that we get, the kindness that he gives us to feel and to be inspired spiritually. So that's another thing. And then we continue. See, all these are praises of God. So that's what we're doing. We're heaping praise upon praise to make us aware of this God that we are about to beseech for all of our needs. As we said, it doesn't just make us aware, but it makes us aware that he is capable of giving us everything. But even more than that, it gives us that sense of incredible awe and privilege that we are able to be alive in the presence of this great God, so to speak. So let's see now. We go on and we say, Koine Hakol. This is interesting. What is Koine Hakol? Koine Hakol means he acquires everything. He is the owner of everything. What does that mean? That's similar to the tefillah, you know, we say on Shabbos in Nishmas. That's one of the most beautiful tefillahs. And we say there in Nishmas, we say, even if we gave God everything, right? Even if we sang the praises of all the birds and all the animals, right? There's nothing we can give God, right? We say it in Halal also. Kol tagmulohi Allah, right? All our goodness really comes from you. What can we give you? What we are saying here is, you are the owner of everything. So we have nothing to offer you, right? I mean, everything, you own us. So what can we give you, so to speak, when you already own us? And it's very interesting when you analyze in Jewish history, we have a story in the Chumash which seems not necessary for us to be told in detail, and yet it is told, and there's a purpose, and it's very connected to these words. When Yosef HaTzadik was in Egypt, and he was appointed by Paray to be the one in charge and to make sure, because the famine was coming, we know that he stored all the wheat in the 7 good years. Came the year of famine, the first year the Egyptians came to buy the food, the first year they still had money, they still had resources, they were able to buy. Comes the second year of the famine, and they had spent all of their money, but they had no food. So now they approach Yosef, and they say to Yosef, we have nothing to give you. The only thing we can give you is ourselves. And they actually signed documents that they sold themselves to Paray. Now they all consider themselves servants of Paray. That's what the Medrash tells us. That's what happened there. And this was done intentionally by Yosef, whatever it is. But the point is, what's the lesson for us? So we say that this is actually exactly how we must feel with God every morning. Well, Hashem sustains us. Hashem gives us everything. He creates us. We are His. All of our praises, all of our thanks, all our Torah, all our mitzvahs, the truth is we belong to Him. So everything that we do, we have to do, so to speak. We are His servants. He owns us. So if we have that feeling, what that does is a very interesting thing. First of all, it makes us acknowledge that we must serve Him, as we say, but it's more than that. It makes us acknowledge that we, in our small way, we do trust. Hashem does value what we do, but we shouldn't have high expectations, right? Because it's like a servant who has to serve his master. So this is one of the important things. So in this context also, we say, it's almost like a present tense, we say, you are acquiring everything, which means that we are also telling Hashem that we are going to serve you throughout the day as a servant does serve his master. So it's also part of the process of us acknowledging that level of our connection to Hashem. Okay, and then we say also a very beautiful thing. It says that the word kaine, you can take it a bit out of context, can also mean tikkun, which is fixing. So Hashem fixes everything, and we're going to discuss that soon more at length. That means sometimes we think, well, Hashem created us, and that's fine, but if we mess things up, shouldn't we be the one to have to take responsibility? So here we praise God, and we say, you know, God, you are such an incredible master that even when we mess up, right, you give us the tools, and we go and use them wrongly, right, we overuse it and we break it, you fix it, and you then enable us to start serving you again properly. And also the word kain with a kuf is a, in Hebrew, is a nest. So what does that mean, a nest? It's just like when you have the egg, which is in the nest, and what's happening to the egg? It's so to speak, it's getting ready to hatch into a bird. We say that Hashem is constantly nurturing us to actually be able to actualize our potential, whatever's contained in our egg. So koine hakol, He nurtures us like the mother bird nurtures the baby, the egg, it's not a baby, the egg in the nest. Hashem nurtures us so we can also at this time imagine ourselves in a nest with Hashem on us, which is interesting because, as we said, we are His servant. He acquires us, but it's a very beautiful acquisition. It is a master who does so with love, and He does so with a sense of nurturing. Then we go on, and this also we won't talk at length because we've spoken at length about Zaycher. Remember, this is the whole thing of this bracha. Whose merit are we trying to arouse? Zaycher Chasdei Avos, right? That He remembers the merits of our forefathers. And interesting, here we mention, we highlight Chasdei Avos. We don't just say Zchus, the merit. We use the word Chasdei. What is Chasdei? Chasdei is the kindness of the Avos. So first of all, we say a very beautiful thing. And this is also interesting because we keep saying how it's us serving God. It's true. Hashem doesn't need us. He's our master. He, you know, and we're His servant. We're Zachary. But nevertheless, every time we do a mitzvah, Hashem considers it as if it's a kindness on our part. And where do we see that? Because Hashem considers all the acts that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did to serve him as a kindness to him. Chasdei Avos. And here we ask him to remember. To remember that he thinks, he looks at the forefathers as if everything they did for him was a kindness. But even deeper, we say for ourselves. We say that the same thing he should do for us, that he should remember our kindness. And this is a very important thing again. In this bracha, we concentrate. It's true, we have many different ways that we operate, many different parts of our personality that we have to use, and we have to use everything to serve God. But in this bracha we're highlighting, and this is the first bracha, so it shows us what should be the dominant one, chesed, the kindness. So we ask Hashem to remember also any kindness that we have shown, any time that we have expressed kindness, because where do we get that midah from? Because we inherited it from our forefathers. Okay, then we go on and we say, Umevi Goyel Livnei Vineyim, right? We mentioned the forefathers. So in interesting how we say it in the present tense, we say he brings the Redeemer to whom? To the his children's children. In other words, to us, right? We are the great-great-grandchildren of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But why does it say that he brings the Redeemer like in the present tense? We always think of it like, we always say, you know, Mashiach is going to come. It's like an event that happens at one point. The truth is that the Geula, the concept of redemption, is a constant evolving thing. It's not a one-off. We are working towards it, and we're waiting for the final redemption, as we call it, for the ultimate redemption. But the truth is that redemption is a process which began from the beginning of creation. And this is something that we are constantly experiencing by Hashem's graciousness, so to speak, that he allows us to. And that's what we're mentioning over here. So it's constantly happening. We're praising Hashem. So it's interesting that what we are also saying here is that we thank Hashem, we're praising him for what, and that's not thanking, it's praising him for actual, because what's the idea of redemption? Redemption means when you're redeemed, it means that you feel yourself in the presence of God. We thank Hashem and we praise Hashem for allowing us to stand before him and yes, revealing parts of himself to us that we should feel a little bit inspired as we daven. So he is giving us this geula as we are davening. He is also, very interestingly, saving us from our yetzahara. That's the geula. He's redeeming us from our negative negative inclination, which is why we're able to stand there and daven. Otherwise, we wouldn't stand there and daven. So we praise God for that. And then we continue and we say, Leman Shemoi Bi'ahava. Now, Hashem, we said he brings the Redeemer. Why? Because he remembers the merit, the schus of our forefathers, right? The kindness of their forefathers. But here we say, you know what? The forefathers is fantastic. But even if we've used their merit, because sometimes we don't deserve anything. And we keep on, you know, it's like we go to the bank and after a while, there's no more credit, right? There's nothing left there. So we might be afraid and say we've made a big overdraft already. We've overused the merits of our forefathers. So here we say, do it for your own sake, God. Your sake, Leman Shemai, for the sake of your name, with love. Because we know that God is infinite and his love for us is infinite. Therefore, even if we have an overdraft, he'll wipe it out and he'll continue to bestow kindness upon us. This is the idea, again, of the love. We mentioned it, this love that Hashem has for us. Another thing that's explained that we say, Leman Shemai, for the sake of your name, to avoid a chilul Hashem, to avoid a desecration, because we know that when the Jewish people suffer, nowadays you can see it clearly in Israel, if something negative happens, if the Jewish people in Israel are made to suffer, well then the world just has a good laugh. They say, oh, they don't have a God, right? I mean, who are these Jewish people? When we suffer, it is a desecration of God's name because we represent God in this world. That's why we say to Hashem, treat us with kindness, treat us with love for your sake, because it's good for you. Because when the Jewish people and the land of Israel and the Jewish people, wherever they find themselves, are so to speak, living in a way which reflects God's kindness, it is a kiddush Hashem, it's a sanctification of Hashem's name. So again, praising Hashem, but all to arouse all of these different means so that we can start to ask for what we want. Okay, then we go on and we say, Ba'av, as we said, with love. And this is a very important word, as we said, the love. There's a beautiful verse that one of the Hasidic Rebbes said, he's a Shlomo Karliner, he said, Halevai, I should love the greatest tzaddik with as much love as Hashem has for the greatest Rasha. So what does that mean? It means that Hashem loves each and every one of us. And sometimes we can forget that, not forget, but we might think that impossible. Who am I? I know my faults. I know what I've done. I know what I do. I know how I think. It's not really possible that Hashem truly loves me. And here, every day in Shemayna Esrei, when we say, Lema'an Shemay Be'ahava, we are meant to reflect upon the fact that Hashem truly loves us, whoever we are, wherever we are, and whatever we are, and whatever we've done. And because of that love, that gives us that strength to say, okay, I am loved, and therefore I will try today to serve him. I will try to be a little bit better. I will try to do something. That's Ba'ava, with love. Then we say, okay, then we go on and we say Melech. Because remember, before we didn't say Melech at the beginning of the bracha. Do you remember Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Aleinu Aviseinu? Remember, we mentioned last week, we didn't mention the word Melech. But over here we say, Umevi Goyel of Nevenehem, Laman Shemay Biava, right? For the sake of his name with love, Melech, Oizer Umayshia Umagin. O King, as we say, we're going to see you are a helper, a savior, and a shield. And we're going to see what all these things represent. What is the idea of a melech? So we say to Hashem that you yourself, the great king, how lucky we are that we get to serve you, right? You're the great king. So we should be full of joy, so to speak, for this incredible attention that you give us, because we've just described that Hashem loved the forefathers, that he showed kindness, that he redeems us constantly, that hopefully he does good for us to sanctify his name, but still with love, he loves us. And who is he? Because we know, it's an interesting thing, if you have somebody that you are relating to, but they're just an ordinary person, well, that's nice. We always like to be loved and cared for by everybody. We like everybody to look at us favorably, but it's much greater when it's a very special person, when it's a unique person, and especially if it's a king. So here we say, Melech, God, you are the king of the whole universe, and you are the one who loves us. You're the one who cares for us. So this is an incredibly also powerful feeling for us, to enable us to daven to Hashem, but of course also showing the greatness of Hashem, that despite the fact that he is the king of the whole world, he still bothers to care about little me. And this is what we continue and we say, even though you are the Melech. And the truth is, nowadays, even though we can't relate to a king as such, but nowadays, I think even more than ever, you know, you look at the politicians and they're not even deserving to be anything. They're nothing. They're really nothing. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them don't live lives that we would want to emulate. We don't really respect them for who they are, but they are in a position of power. Nevertheless, because of their power, to them, even though they are really nothing special, and if they're honest and they look in the mirror, they see they have faults like all of us. They still look down at ordinary people. That's the usual, because they're in the position of power and we are not. Here we see Hashem, who is truly the king, and yet he bothers to care about us, but not just he cares because he has to, he cares because he loves us. This also gives us that special feeling, not just of empowerment, but this feeling of, yes, it's worth it for me to set out my requests, because he actually does care. And then we go on, and here we have interesting words. Oizer umayshia umagin. Oizer means he's an assistant, he helps. What does that mean? This is interesting. These are three different ways that we, it's not that we identify in different categories all the time. This is interchangeable for us. Sometimes we approach Hashem as the king, as we say, and we say to him, you are our helper. What does our helper mean? A helper means when you're doing something and you need a little bit of assistance. So you're putting an effort and the other person comes and helps you. Not that they're doing it for you, they're helping you. So that's an assistant. We say, even though we can't do it on our own, you will assist us. But we're trying, we're working on it. So those are the days that we wake up motivated and we're trying to serve Hashem as best as possible. We recognize that we can't do it on our own, that Hashem helps us. But then, we try to make ourselves worthy of his assistance. But then we go on Umayshia. What is Umayshia? Mashia is a savior. Even when we don't try, even when we're too lethargic, we can't even make a move, we literally can't even lift ourselves at all, we say to Hashem, you still save us, even when we are hopeless. And this is a very important thing for us to remember, that Hashem is there for us, we say, even when we're helpless. According to some opinions, we say an interesting thing, that oizer is, as we say, an assistant. That's when Hashem answers our tefillah, you know, when we daven and we daven hard and Hashem says, okay, I'll listen to you and I'm going to give you what you want. Sometimes we daven and it doesn't seem that Hashem is responding. That's the feeling umayshia. So we say, okay, if you didn't help us when we were davening, like you didn't sort of join us and give us what we wanted right away, I know you will still provide salvation. You will still be a savior. Perhaps it might take a little bit more time. Now that sounds quite negative. It sounds almost like the Eizer is when Hashem is helping us. Why? Because we're worthy. Well, we're putting an effort, so he's helping us. Mashiach is when we're not even putting an effort, so sometimes it might take a little bit longer. But there's also another flip side, another way to look at it. When we're with another person, when we are, not with, but let's say we are the one who is the giver, and another person is the receiver. So there's two different ways that we can relate. Sometimes we have a person who we really, really, really like. We like them. Nebach, they need our help because they've fallen on hard times, but we like them very much. We like their company. We even respect them. We would love to have time with them. Then there's another person who also needs our help. Now, we might not like them very much. We might not respect them. And we might even think they should be doing more and they should be able to help themselves. Bottom line is, though, they need our help. We're going to help them. The person whom we don't like, what we might do is we might say, come at 10 o'clock. I'll leave the envelope outside the door. He comes and he goes. You don't even see, say hello, goodbye, and he's gone. The one that you like, the one you respect, you'll invite him inside, you'll spend time with him. Well, it takes much more time for him to get the assistance. Why? Because you're spending time with him. We say that sometimes when things don't come our way immediately, how we should view it is because Hashem wants our company. He wants us to be speaking to him. He wants us to daven longer. He wants us to feel his presence for a longer amount of time because he cherishes our presence. This is said about, we know, the imahis, the mothers, how they it took such a long time for them to have children because Hashem cherishes the tefillahs of the tzaddikim. But even for us, we should reflect sometimes and think, Hashem didn't answer us very quickly today. Maybe he just wants us to daven a little bit more because he loves us. So that's another way of looking at it. But the bottom line is that he will help and he will provide salvation. Interesting, we come to Magen. What is the shield? So this is an interesting thing. What is the, like, what are we praising God that he is a shield? So if we understand what's a shield, is something which provides us with protection, right? It protects us from all harm. We have with Avram, this is the bracha of Avram, we have specifically with Avram, that when Avram was returning from the war with the four kings and the five kings, Hashem said to Avram, Al tira, don't be afraid, anoichi magen lecha, I will protect you, I am your protector. Why did Avram need protection then? So it's explained that what was Avram afraid of? He wasn't afraid of the kings, he had finished, he had won the war. What was he afraid of? He was afraid that he was tainted by the negativity that he had engaged in. Because he had no choice, but he had to fight this war. And because he was involved with these people, both sides, even the side he was defending, weren't very good people. So Avram was afraid that it might influence his way of thinking, his way of behaving, being around these negative people. And Hashem said to him, don't be afraid. I will protect you. Every morning when we say that Hashem is our Magen, This is the protection that Hashem provides for us, that despite our environment, despite the people that we come in contact with that might not be so amazing, or the things that we hear, or any circumstance that could make us, unfortunately, could affect us in a negative way spiritually, don't worry, we praise God, He can protect us. We say, actually, David HaMelech says, and we say it in Hallel, it's a beautiful, beautiful words that David HaMelech says. He says, Ani amarti b'chavsi, kol ha'adam kaizeh. There's many ways to explain those words, but literally it just means, I have said in my haste that all men are liars. Well, nowadays I think everybody would say that, but doesn't matter. We'll put that aside. But what does David HaMelech mean when he said, I have said in my haste that all men are liars? So the Mefarshim say, David HaMelech says, I have said in my haste means, I have said throughout Golos, throughout exile, well, his own exile, but it's also reflecting us. When we are hasting, when we are rushing through Golos, hoping for the Gula, hoping for the redemption, what do we say? We look around and we think more and more and more how much falsehood the world is full of. The world, every day we think the world can't get more false then, and yet the next day something more false seems to happen. What do we say? Kol ha'adam kaizev. What does that mean? What's David HaMelech saying? I am thanking you, Hashem, that despite the world being a world of falsehood, you protect us and you give us a guide that we should be able to see the truth, because it's very difficult when you are bombarded constantly by lies and by negativity to be able to discern and remain good, remain honest, remain with the right vision, remain focused on what is correct. And this is what we say when we say Mogen. Hashem protects us. He does. Once we say that, all this is also to help us realize that we can serve Hashem, because otherwise we can feel very overwhelmed. The world is in such a state, it's impossible. We're definitely going to be affected. Now, because Hashem is the Mogen, He's the protector, that's when we finish the bracha. And what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem, as we mentioned originally, we're actually talking direct. First of all, we're drawing down the blessing and we are speaking directly to Hashem, Mogen Avraham, who is the protector, the shield of Avraham. Even though we mentioned Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the bracha, at the final part of the bracha, we only mention Avraham. This is actually a very a gift to Avraham. Hashem said to Avraham that you will be a blessing when he benched him originally. And what does that mean, you will be a blessing? I will use you as the seal of the blessing, you alone. But what does this mean for us? So there's a few different ways to look at this. Also, at this part, what's very significant, this is the only bracha, this and Maidim, that we do bow down also at the end of the bracha. Remember, we bow down at the beginning. We do the same type of bowing. We start Baruch and then Atah and Hashem. We, you know, go lower and then by Hashem we're straightened. Also by this part of the bracha, so we bow again and we say, Hashem, you are our shield. But no, here we say, Hashem, you're the shield of Avraham. What's the lesson for us as far as the shield of Avraham? And again, it's interesting how I think that davening and just generally Torah becomes more and more relevant as time goes on. Not less relevant, but more relevant. What does Avraham represent? All the forefathers have done this, but Avraham the most. We say with Avraham, we call him Avraham HaIvri, right? He was the Ivri. What does Ivri mean? Ivri means he was me'aver. He was on one side of the water and everybody else was on the other side. What does that mean? We use the terminology Echad Haya Avraham. Avraham had the incredible inner strength to be a person who stood for what's right, even if everybody else in the world held differently. It didn't matter. It didn't sway him. Mogen Avraham. We say to Hashem, we praise Him, and we're not really meant to request here, but we praise Him, and just in the praise, it gives us the strength for the day, that even though we're going to be bombarded by so many things which oppose our values, literally oppose, and undermine what we stand for, and undermine our connection to Hashem, you are our shield, and we can be one, even if nobody else supports us. And we know, look at Israel, we say, Hen Am Lavada Dishkan, that was one of the blessings that Bilam gave, that there will be a nation that will stand on its own. And it's come true very much. Even if nobody supports us, it doesn't matter. We know what's right. We do what's right before God. As long as we have our compass being the Torah, we're fine and we could stand on our own. And this is why we end Magen Avraham. Another beautiful, beautiful thing. Why do we bow here? Just one more thing. Initially we bowed and now we bow. This bracha, as we say, is also called, well, it's the one that corresponds to Avraham, but we do mention all the three forefathers, and then we evoke, as we said, the schus, the merit of the forefathers. So a lot of our davening is done with that merit, the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and even on a smaller level, the merit of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our families, all of those who have guided and helped us and lived in a way which has set an example for us. But sometimes in life, what we have to remember, and this is the end of the bracha, is that it could be from two reasons. Whether it be that we feel we don't have that kind of parents or grandparents, some people might say, well, I don't have that schus avos, I don't have that merit of the forefathers, so they feel on their own, or even if we do, sometimes we have to literally dig deep and find our own strength, not just rely on our parents, on grandparents, but our own strength to stand up for what's right. And that's this part of the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. Now, we're not just going to rely on what came before us. Just like Avraham had a father, Terach, so he couldn't rely on anybody. We have to rely on ourselves. On ourselves meaning on our relationship with Hashem, on our own relationship with Hashem. And that's enough to provide us with protection. So that's another important thing to remember as we finish this first bracha. Now, we did say that, so this is the end of the first bracha. We're going to continue on to the second bracha. I really did think we would finish this, and we definitely won't, but doesn't matter. We'll start the second bracha today. But just to know that the first three brachas are considered one unit, which means we do say them every day, and Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're always said. The first three brachas are the same in every Shemayna Esrei. And what's important and what's significant about it also is that if we make any mistake by forgetting a word or inserting the wrong phrase, in the first three brachas, you do have to repeat Shemayna Esrei. They have a certain, there's a certain strictness regarding the first three brachas of Shemayna Esrei. And the second bracha that we are going to go on to now is called, either known as the bracha of Gvurais, strengths, or Tchias HaMesim, the bracha of the resurrection of the dead. This is a very powerful bracha, and it's interesting how, even though we don't talk much about the resurrection of the dead, generally speaking, but nevertheless, every day in Shemayna Esrei, the second bracha, that is the bracha. We have to understand what's the significance, and how does that apply to me today, and what is it all about? So let's start with the words of the bracha itself. This one doesn't start with a baruch, it only ends with a baruch, right? So we say like this, the second bracha starts. Ata gibar, you see the word gibar right away, that's why it's called gvura. You are the mighty one, la'olam, forever, Adonai, my Lord, right? You are the mighty one forever. We say like this, the Chafetz Chaim actually says that before we even begin this bracha, what we should reflect upon is we should be praising and thanking Hashem for the concept of Tchias HaMesim. Just the fact that He will resurrect us, that our life is eternal. So we say, you are our strength. You are the strong one. Which shows that when we say that Hashem is the strong one, La'olam, forever, Hashem's strength never gets less, right? It's not like us human beings. As we get older, we get less strong. We weaken. Hashem, almost as he ages, he gets stronger. But there's no such thing as age with God, obviously. That's the idea. You are eternal. The other thing we say is like this. We say a very magnificent thing. So we explain, what does this mean, Ata Gibor La'olam? Just want to, one thing. We talk about, I just want to see one word, because we use the word Adonai. Adonai means my master, right, as we said. In our previous bracha, we did mention the name Melech, that God is a king. Here we are relating to Hashem as a master. What's the difference between a master and a king? A king is also a master. But a king is a king over a whole world, over a whole nation, so to speak, which means he has many, many subjects. He doesn't know each one personally. When you refer to God with the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, which means my master, that means Hashem knows us personally. We are his personal servant. And that's what we're going to see in this paragraph. This is about our personal relationship with Hashem, recognizing that Hashem knows every aspect of our life, cares about every aspect, and is involved in every aspect in our life. That's why we accept him as a personal master. When we say that Hashem, we use the word name Hashem, so we say, I'll just read you something very beautiful. We call God that he is Gibor, that he is strong. What is the advantage, what's special about strong? And what, not special, what's the definition of strong? That's the truth. So in the world, when you talk about somebody being strong, what do you associate? You maybe a boxer, I don't know, somebody who's, you know, strong. But we know that Torah has a different view of strength. We have it very, very clearly set out for us in Pirkei Avos. Eizahu Gibar HaKoyve Shes Yitzray. Who is strong? The one who conquers his evil inclination. So what does strong mean? Strong means somebody who is able to withhold something that he might really want to do, right? So he's able to hold back. That's strength. Strength is when you can hold back even though you really want to do something. And when we apply that to Hashem, we say, I'll read you these beautiful words in Hebrew, it says, Hashem misgaber v'koyvesh eskasei, that he strengthens himself and he conquers his anger. U'mashpia chayis v'chasodim, and he bestows and he gives life and kindness, afilu l'rishayim, even to wicked people, hanikra'im mesim, who are referred to as dead. That's why it fits in to this paragraph of the resurrection of the dead. Because sometimes, even while we are alive, we might be like dead. We are spiritually dead. When we don't, obviously, when we are not alive, meaning we're not connected to God, then we are dead. And Hashem still, what does he do? He still bestows us with all good and all kindness. That's the, like, he is the Gibor, if you want to say. That's why we're praising God. So even if people are in the category of dead, he still showers them with all the blessings. Now, I just want to, just to give you a little bit of an outline of this bracha, there's really three beautiful concepts that we're praising God for. So we mentioned Gevura, which is strength, and we mentioned the idea of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. But let's understand this concept of the resurrection, Tchias HaMesim. So it actually is a very beautiful thing. It says that every single morning when we wake up, and we're going to see it more in the words later on, every single morning when we wake up, we are literally as if we have been resurrected from the death. We say that sleep is 1/60th of death. That's what it is. And the fact that we are able to wake up in the morning means that we have had a Tchias HaMesim every single morning. So that's one aspect of resurrection, if you want to say, that we all experience. Rain, interestingly enough, people might not associate rain, and that's what we insert that in this bracha, but rain is also compared to a resurrection, so to speak, of the dead. Why? Where does rain come in? So the Avudraham, who was one of the biggest Mefarshim commentaries on the Siddur, he explains that just on a simple level, what is rain? Rain is what gives life, it sustains the vegetation to make it grow, and therefore we're able to live. So if not for rain, we wouldn't be alive. So rain, and we'll see soon, do as well, is also connected to the resurrection. And just literal Tchias HaMesim, that Hashem will, we know, make all of those who have passed on come back to life after Mashiach comes. Now, very interesting. So rain and life and Tchias HaMesim, and they're all flowing from this beautiful bracha of Gevura. I just want to read you something beautiful, and before we go on, that I heard today, a very beautiful story, and I do recommend you can Google it, you can go on YouTube yourself. I didn't see the exact title, but if you put in Rabbi Sacks and Davening or Tefillah, he has, I think, 10 short videos where he's speaking about Davening. And I'm just going to share one of them with you because it's very connected to this one. You can go and see it. Obviously, the way he says it is magnificent. But he says that every morning we wake up and we say Maidani. And as we said, in the morning when we wake up, it is this idea that we are, Hashem is giving, restoring us back to life. So he describes how just after he was married, he went on a honeymoon and they went to Italy, and there was they were near the coast and this beautiful water. And he, interestingly, he didn't know how to swim. I don't know if he ever learned, but at that point he didn't know how to swim. So he was hesitating to go in, but he's watching the swimmers, And he sees how they're going in and there's no problem. The water only seems to be going to their knee. So it looks so inviting. So he decides that he's going to also, you know, wander in a little bit. So he walks into the water and it's fine. It's only to his knee. It's tuck 100%. Then he turns around to go back. And on his way back, he doesn't know what happened, but there must have been a dip in the sand. And all of a sudden he feels himself going under and he doesn't know how to swim. And he's literally drowning. That's what he says. He really felt like he was drowning. And he says it very cutely. His thoughts were, oh my gosh, how do you say save me in Italian? And anyway, so he didn't know what to do. And he's thrashing about. And he thinks his life is over. But he doesn't even remember exactly who, but somebody must have saved him, as he says, because he's here. Somebody obviously came and saw him thrashing, carried him back to shore. And literally, he was almost unconscious. Anyways, Baruch Hashem, he was fine after that. 100%. But he says it changed his life. This is the words, and I'll just tell you his words because he says it so beautifully. He says that I woke up in every morning afterwards and he said, and thought to myself, but for a miracle, I wouldn't be here. He said it made everything easier to bear. I never forgot that day on an Italian beach that the life that I had so nearly lost had been given back to me. He says, it's hard to stay depressed when you remember daily that life is a gift. So he says with real feeling, I thank you for giving me back my soul with mercy. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you, God. Before we think, we thank. Not taking life for granted, as he says. We are here. We might not have been. Somehow that makes every day a celebration. He says it so beautifully, and this is also part of this bracha, the bracha of Mechaya HaMesim. When we say it, we have to have in mind that Hashem has brought us back to life. Hopefully we haven't had an experience where we've nearly died. But every morning, the fact that we woke up is awakening from a state which is almost like dead. But we'll see next week. We're going to continue next week. We're going to go on and see. It's a very beautiful bracha. Just a very quick reflection that we have is that even on days when we don't feel so alive spiritually, we don't feel so in touch with God, we don't feel so in touch with our better self, we have to. When we say this bracha, it's a good time to start and reflect that even if we are really like a piece of stone today and almost like dead, Hashem has the power to make us alive, to revive us, to bring us back. This is not a tefillah of a bakasha. We're not requesting. We're praising God that He can do it. And just by saying that, it makes us aware that even if we are numb, even if we feel nothing, now, in the next moment, we can wake up. And we will wake up. And we will be alive again. Because this is the power which Hashem has. And this is the kindness and the goodness which Hashem constantly gives us and bestows upon us. I'm going to finish here for today.